Well, coming out of the 2008 elections, the dominant storyline was that online, the Obama campaign ruled the day. Democrats were crooning about their new social networking success, spreading the word, getting out the vote, raising boatloads of cash through new media. Republicans, on the other hand, were seen to have been left back in the 20th century. Of course, it's not that simple. For one, it's unclear just how lasting an impact the Democratic Netroots has had as the Obama presidency tackles health care, financial reform, and climate change. Where have the Netroots been on those things? And either way, Republicans may have been the first to fine-tune social networking. Remember direct mail? Either way, as some major showdowns loom around the country this fall, both sides are trying to learn the lessons of 2008 and get a jump online to score new major victories. So we will check in with the state of the Democratic Netroots next week. And now we're joined by two new media stars from the right. Patrick Ruffini and Mindy Finn are both with the new media strategy firm Engage. Ruffini formerly served as e-campaign director at the Republican National Committee. Finn was director of online strategy for the Mitt Romney 2008 campaign. Both recently worked on the successful Bob McDonnell for Governor campaign in Virginia, which many are pointing to as a blueprint for successful conservative Netroots organizing. So Patrick and Mindy, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You know, there's a perception out there that Republicans are great at forwarding emails. Everyone has that aunt who forwards everything she gets, right? But it's Democrats who are really good at social networking online. Do you think that's a legitimate split?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think that it's funny how these perceptions kind of can get created, but I think what we've seen, especially since the 2008 election, is Republicans immediately seizing upon social networking and in many ways jumping onto the new thing. The first thing to kind of take off right after the election was this thing called Top Conservatives on Twitter. So immediately right after the election, within a month, you saw people jumping onto Twitter as a way to express their newfound frustration about, you know, the incoming Obama administration. And those of us who've been doing this for a while, I think that's great, and that's a great development. But there are still other elements that I think Democrats still do well. Obviously Obama's 13 million person email list. There are still some basics that I think we need to master. And email was the original killer app of the web. Now it's moving to become social networking, but it's actually, I think that perception is probably flipped.
Mindy, you wrote about how the McDonnell campaign in Virginia may hold some important lessons for other candidates this year, and you highlighted your seven habits of highly successful campaigns. And one was that major statewide campaigns need multiple people working on the online aspects of the campaign, even if they're part-time. Do you think Republicans have had a tendency to name just one online campaign director and the rest of the people are working in old ways?
Yeah, for too long, the Republican Party and to much extent, the Democratic Party has not valued online media, has not valued the organizing aspects particularly that go on online. So whereby a campaign might invest, a statewide campaign might invest in 7 to 10 to 12 field directors who are responsible for organizing volunteers and then voters in specific areas of the state, there wasn't a recognition that it might take just as many people, or at least close to as many people, to organize the masses online. And part of that was that the masses weren't there. By 2004, certainly by 2006 and 2008, the majority of Americans who take part in politics, get information on politics, and want to be active are online. It's taken too long for, I think, both parties to catch up, but we're finally, the McDonnell campaign, really was a landmark example in a campaign recognizing that the masses were moved online and they needed to put much more of an investment, both in time, money, and just overall effort in online.
And listeners, if you get emails, political emails, and forward them, if you social network online, if you think it's relevant. What either party does online to who's going to carry the day in the congressional elections this fall, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Patrick, was there a wake-up call moment when the right said, we've got to get on board with this Obama-style stuff?
I think it was a series of moments, but I think the fact that being in opposition really galvanizes, I mean, any political movement. And we saw this with the Netroots and the Bush administration, and with the Rightroots now with the Obama administration. Very soon, early after the election, you know, there was a special election in upstate New York in which, in full disclosure, we helped out a little bit on this, but that raised over $200,000 online. In numbers that, you know, I think might even sound modest a year later, it was something that was unprecedented. It was unprecedented for a congressional campaign to raise $20,000 online prior to the Obama coming into office on the Republican side, rather than let alone $200,000. And it was just the notion of we have to make a stand, we have to take retake some ground here, move forward, look at the New York 23 special election fairly close by, and the rallying behind, you know, the conservative candidate Doug Hoffman, the over $2 million raised by Joe Wilson in a 48-hour period, exceeding kind of what was, a successful money bomb, quote unquote money bomb, to the Democratic candidate.
That was after he stood up,
right,
and said, you lied to President Obama.
Yeah,
that turned out to be a golden moment in monetary terms.
Exactly. And now what we're seeing with the Rightroots rallying around Scott Brown as the Senate candidate in Massachusetts, who has potentially an outside shot of winning the seat and becoming the 41st vote and thereby derailing potentially the health care bill. There has been, unprecedented level of activity. Every blog, every radio host has practically mentioned that race. There has been a series of galvanizing moments, a series of moments that, we would, prior to that, our reference points were the Howard Dean moment or the Obama moment the notion of raising hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars online, getting tens of thousands of people to sign up. Now those are routinely happening on the Republican side.
Anybody listening who considers yourself part of the Rightroots, as Patrick Ruffini just called them, or part of the liberal Netroots who want to react to this, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Patrick Ruffini and Mindy Finn with the new media strategy firm Engage, which works online with Republican candidates, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Before we go to the phones, Mindy, would you say that there's a liberal or conservative way to tap the Netroots? Do the two parties and, two political communities tend to do it differently, having anything to do with their identity or anything else?
I don't think inherently there's a different approach for Republicans versus Democrats. You know, passion drives action. And as Patrick said, when you're out of power, you tend to be more motivated. You know, winners get lazy, losers get fired up, and that's what we saw in the Democratic or the left in 2004, 2006, and 2008, and what we're seeing now happen on the right, I think, much faster than even anybody could have anticipated. I think what's important to point out is that it isn't the parties that have necessarily been able to spark this momentum, been able to spark this massive networking online and participation online. It's individual, independent groups who may not even who probably call themselves a Republican or a Democrat, but they're really looking to change the establishment of either party. It was the Netroots and blogs like the Daily Coast and others who pushed the Democratic Party, to lean more left. And ultimately, it was that movement that had allowed Obama to trump Hillary in 2008 and go on to win the presidency. What we're seeing is the same thing happen on the right now, which is it's independent groups like the Tea Party groups and others who forever have called themselves conservatives over Republicans who are trying to do the same with the Republican Party.
What do you make of the Tea Party movement? Mindy, it's done a lot of its organizing through Twitter and social media, hasn't it?
has, absolutely. But what I think is actually really compelling about the Tea Party movement, even as opposed to the Netroots movements in 06 and 08, is that they've been able to absolutely translate that online organizing and activity into tangible events, into a tangible impact by showing up in massive rallies, you know, at different cities across the country, by showing up at healthcare town halls across the country. And because of that, they got media coverage, you know, through traditional means to reach even the sort of older, more dependable voters and more dependable electorate, which really scared a lot of sitting members of Congress in a way that maybe it wouldn't have or would have much taken much longer to if had their organizing been online only. The major difference with what they did is taking this online organizing and translating it into offline activity, and that's a major lesson for campaigns across the nation.
Stephen Mawa, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Hi. You know, I come from the left, but I'm honest enough to admit that both right and left have their lunatic fringes on each end that sort of the sort of true believers. And I thought it's worth at least mentioning that the people there from the right may not be giving the right enough credit. Some of the earliest users of the internet before the left and were sort of fringe right users who were not into electoral, well, they were into sometimes electoral politics, but not with a real hope of election. But the extreme right actually were pioneers in the uses of the earliest forms of the internet, and a lot of that use, just my last point, a lot of that use and the sort of horrors that were revealed were in fact mobilizing forces for the left. When we saw sort of how the sort of extreme right was using the internet.
And even before the internet, and Steve, thank you for your call. I think, Patrick, that we could take this history all the way back to 1988, when after that presidential campaign, you had a grassroots movement on the right and a grassroots movement on the left. It was the Pat Robertson movement on the right after he ran and lost in the Republican primary. It was the Jesse Jackson movement on the left after he ran and lost to Dukakis. But Jackson and his Rainbow Coalition never got that national organizing push going in the way that Pat Robertson and his Christian Coalition did following that election. And a lot of that had to do with new media of the time, which was direct mail, and also the rise of talk radio. Rush Limbaugh really hit nationally right around that time. So would you say it kind of goes back that far?
If not even further back to, you know, 1964 with sort of the invention of direct mail and presidential politics with Barry Goldwater. I mean, this is, it's not necessarily a new concept to be able to directly connect to your volunteers and to your most fervent and most dedicated supporters, the ability to tap into that base in a politically actionable way is something that's been around for 40 years now.
Yeah.
The difference now is that it's happening in real time. It's the real time web brought to sort of political activism that, you know, if we are, you know, within 48 hours of a major event happening, if we're within 2 weeks of an election, you know, it's we're not limited by the technology of the time, which was mail, and it takes time and money to get a mail piece out. Now it can mobilize, and, you know, we might not know what the political phenomenon of tomorrow will be, or the political phenomenon of 48 hours from now, let alone 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. Look at how quickly Obama was able to become sort of a political phenomenon and become president as a result of that, when nobody heard of him 4 years before.
On our website, Merrill writes, "I know campaigning is all about raising money. Every email I receive from whatever political group always asks for money. The question is, so for all the social networking and messaging and so on, is the internet best used as a really good way to raise cash?" Mindy, does it all come down to that?
Well, I think that's a really important question, because often the major story out of internet success is how much money was raised online, without a lot of focus on what it took to get there or why that money is being raised online. You know, it is certainly a lot of it, you have to have money to win elections. Money is often used as a marker of one campaign's momentum over another campaign. It's needed in reality to be able to get the message out. However, we should not view the web as just a virtual ATM machine. Campaigns shouldn't view the web or organizations as a virtual ATM machine, where they're just processing money and being able to put that into action. It takes a lot of work, and it takes the absolute right combination of message and momentum to be able to raise the kind of money that we saw from Barack Obama in 2008 that we've seen in some of the Republican special elections this year.
Last question. Yesterday, the two of you did a presentation with the group Tech President and the Personal Democracy Forum and pointed out that when we talk about the right catching up or even surpassing the left, we're talking about independent organizations that are doing so, not necessarily the GOP itself. Which brings up the question, is there a chance that all this online organizing can further fracture a party rather than rally it, and that ultimately hurts in elections? I mean, maybe that's what happened in New York 23. Patrick, real brief?
There's an argument certainly to be made, but there was a revival of the grassroots and the netroots during the Democratic, during the Democratic period in the wilderness with Daily Kos. One could argue, and we took great, when I was at the Republican National Committee, I think we took great joy in trying to play up that schism. But at the end of the day, with the Obama campaign and with, what resulted from it, more grassroots activity is better than less. That activity will eventually find, I think, a constructive outlet, even if it doesn't seem immediately apparent. And you always want, more grassroots engagement, because I think you can, while it's harder to control, you can ultimately, you're building more power and energy on your side to be able to affect sort of the political outcomes that you want.
Next week, we'll get a Democratic Party take on netroots organizing for the 2010 elections. Today's Republican take came from Patrick Ruffini and Mindy Finn, both with the new media strategy firm Engage. Thank you both so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, what's progressive about hunting? Maybe locavores have the answer. Stay with us.